In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This morning's sermon is based on John's explanation of the mystery of God come into the flesh from John chapter 1. St. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Here ends the reading. Grace and truth to you in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is the name that is given to this boy born in Bethlehem, whose birth we celebrate and have celebrated for 2,000 years. His name means something. "You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." As the angel told this to the father, Joseph, Joseph discovered that his betrothed wife, which I guess would be roughly equivalent to the engaged wife, someone with whom he had not yet familiarized himself in a marital way, was with child. And Joseph was part of the darkness. Joseph was part of his own that did not at first receive him, because using his mind, there could only be one explanation to Mary being pregnant and him knowing he was not the father. Some other man must have impregnated her, and therefore she was unfaithful. She was a sinner. She had violated the sixth commandment, and according to Jewish law, he could put her away in a visible way, take her to the judges at the city gates, take her out and be stoned as a harlot, or being the good man, the forgiving man that he was, he could put her away quietly, and that had been his plan. What does it mean? It means the gift is largely ignored by men who are here. They can't reach it. They can't understand it. No matter how much it is told to them or how plainly it sits in their eyes, being in darkness, they are blinded to the light and cannot see the good news of Jesus Christ. And so this package from God, this gift of God from heaven to earth descended, is wrapped in poverty, is wrapped in being unwelcomed in Bethlehem. It is wrapped in rejection, for there were many comfortable people in the inn, but Jesus and His family had to be discouraged and had to find a place in the manger. The gift was being ignored. You may, around your family tree, have the practice of being careful as you sort through the wrapping paper, especially if you have young ones that have ravished through all that wrapping paper. You may have learned by tragic experience that you have to be careful when you're discarding that wrapping paper, because something valuable might be inside. Many times these days, there are gift certificates or even checks of money that are made out of the same kind of stuff as your wrapping paper and can easily be disguised in what you want to throw away. Or there are things that are small like diamonds that easily fit within a crease or a crinkle in the wrapping paper. And if a diamond falls out and gets into that wrapping paper and we throw it away, we may lose it and never find it again. This is the nature of the gift that God has given us. Many people pursuing the glitter and the fancy wrapping paper that they see in this world throw away the greatest gift. They let their eyes be bedazzled by all the riches and the things that are exchanged between men as they give gifts to each other. And by doing so, forego the greatest gift which God gives us, though in a plain brown wrapper wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger and eventually wrapped in the ignominy of shame and sin and death, which repels every eye. And yet, in the middle of all that wrapping paper is the gift, the jewel, the diamond of God's love. It is my prayer for each of us, and I know that prayer is already answered, that our eyes of faith may be set upon the great gift that God has given us, the gift of love in His Son, Jesus Christ. This morning, as we receive Him both in the Word and in the Blessed Sacrament later, the gift that saves us through God's love, through our Savior Jesus, who saves His people from their sins. Christ in this Gospel of John is here called the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is a rich and beautiful description of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because we can relate to it. Words are born in our hearts. I hope that we think and we feel before we speak, so that what we communicate actually communicates something from inside of us to people outside of us. Jesus says that it is from the overflow of our hearts that we speak, which means it's a great miracle that the animals do not possess the ability to speak out our hearts, our thoughts, and our feelings to others. But unfortunately, it also tells us some things tragic about ourselves. Most of us like to monopolize the conversation. I'm not talking about preaching here. Most of us like to monopolize conversation with talk about ourselves. And what is overflowing from our hearts is our love of self. And when we do that, we can turn other people off, because you know what? They love themselves more than they love to hear about you talking about yourself. And what we hate are those things that threaten us. Those things that threaten to take away our security, our enemies, the dark fates that may be out there to get us, the things that would seem to destabilize us. We talk about those in very negative terms, because in our hearts we have hate for those things that threaten us, and it spills out of our lips. We say that about ourselves, but it's something like God, but God is much greater than that. When it says in this text, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, it means that God also speaks words. But more than that, when we speak from the overflow from our hearts, it's part of our hearts coming out. It's a derivative of our hearts coming out. It's a little sampling of our heart. But when God speaks His Word, He speaks His whole heart. Everything that is God comes out with Him. And that's why in the beginning it was the Word that made everything. It isn't a magic word. The Word is God Himself, the Creator. The Word is God that He speaks out from Himself unto people. Now this is a precious gift. If a man or a person can tell us something about the inside of themselves, a little bit about the inside of themselves with their words, God gives us His whole self with those words, so that we can have God when we grasp that word. When God speaks it, that it is a person of God that we received, and keeping that word, we have God Himself. That's how Adam and Eve were in the very beginning. They grasped words of God. And they did not reject the Word of God, but as children love the voice of their parents, if they are loving children, so Adam and Eve loved the Word of God when it came to him, because now we're seeing that that Word of God is God Himself and His love and every good thing for him. But there was a problem with the word. There was a fall in heaven, and the devil was jealous of God. Now, what does that mean? We could speculate on that, but the better speculator is Luther. You can also fault Luther for this because you can say, don't show me a direct passage in this. But it's one of those recognitions that once you recognize spiritual realities, you see it all over in Scripture. The devil was jealous of God. What does that mean? Luther says this, that he saw the Word of God in heaven, which is Jesus before he took on flesh, and the devil said to him, well, that's not such a great thing. That's not such a noble thing. And we relate to that because when we hear words from other people, we say, his words are worthless. Well, that's what the devil said about God. His word isn't so grand. If that's God, I can do a better job of that. And that's what Scripture says, that the devil fell when he became jealous of God. And how does he do it? Luther speculates by belittling the word of God, which is therefore also belittling God himself. And isn't that the temptation that the devil brought to our first parents in the very beginning? He said, hath God really said you can't eat of the tree? And the strategy was to belittle the word and to belittle Jesus and to belittle God himself before Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve fell to it. They thought his word isn't enough. His word isn't right. And in rejecting the word of God, they rejected Christ who would be incarnate. They rejected God himself. They made themselves the judge of God, saying that God is a liar and someone else is telling the truth. And that's the sin. It has to do with Jesus. It has to do with the word of God. It has to do with belittling and saying it's not enough. It's not very great. And that's the spiritual battle that's been going on ever since. Man without that light is in darkness and cannot be enlightened without that word. And this is the gift that God gives to us in Jesus Christ. The word that man has rejected, belittled, and put himself over has come under mankind in the word of God, Jesus Christ. God speaks a word of grace, of reconciliation. He speaks a word of comfort, a word of peace. Where? In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, my friends, the devil is going to try to make us think that that's not very important. And even the way that God dresses Jesus up and wraps him may invite us to believe that Jesus is not that important. Why? Because Jesus dresses himself in things that we don't like. Jesus dresses himself in poverty, and we want to be rich. Jesus dresses himself in weakness. He's a king that comes without an army, without an entourage, with a ragtag group of 12 people. And we look at it and say, what kind of king is that? And what kind of army does he have? 12 apostles. That's no way to run a kingdom. The way he's dressed is utterly deplorable. And when he comes to fight his greatest battle, what does he do? He goes and dies. We say to ourselves, a victorious soldier doesn't die. He slays his enemy. But Jesus wraps himself in sin, in shame, in rejection of God. All of the things that human beings run from, he wraps himself in it. And the temptation is, when we see him in that way, to run and hide because they are things that we hate. We don't want those things for ourselves. Even though, my friends, under God's law, we all deserve exactly those things. And that's why we don't like them. But don't throw away the gift because of that wrapping paper. In the middle of that gift, wrapped up in all of those things that we hate because he came to bear our weaknesses, sin and death and the curse that we hate, wrapped up in the middle of that is the jewel and the diamond of God's love. Because he came not to suffer for his sins, or to bear his own weaknesses, or to bear his own death, but to bear ours, so that with his strength we may be redeemed. With his atoning blood we can have reconciliation before God, that God, who was justly angry at us for belittling him, can see a greatness among the human family in his Son Jesus Christ, who never belittled him but always did his will. And we, the sinners, can be reconciled through Christ, because Christ says to us sinners, I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. I have come to bear your weaknesses and your sins and your death, and to take them away from you so that you will have them no more. And in the peace that we lack in this world, we find that all of our peace and all of our blessing and all of our hope for the future wrapped up in our problems in Jesus Christ, because he came to bear them and to take them away. And soon, my friends, there is another wonderful wrapping that Jesus is going to give himself to us in, and that is in the Holy Sacrament. The Word that became flesh through the Virgin Mary, the same flesh and blood that was born and was laying in that manger like that beautiful picture window, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, that same Jesus Savior who died for our sins and rose again and ascended into heaven has promised to give himself to you today. Now, he's not wrapped up in a great big feast of duck or turkey or dressing or stuffing. That's later for later for your bellies. He's wrapped up in some meal that no beggar would even want. It's less than a swallow of bread and a little bit of wine. What a deplorable gift that is. But don't disdain it, my friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. Wrapped up in that is the gift of Christmas, your Savior Jesus Christ. For he has said, and don't you dare belittle his words, this is my body, this is my blood, what for? Given and shed for you, because I'm your Savior. And this is how I'm saving you, by my body and blood separating in death, so that your sins are taken away, so that heaven stands open to you, and so that you can be God's child and heir forever with me, so that your death will not lead to hell as you deserve, but to heaven and God's grace through my body and blood given and shed for you. Don't ever ignore those words. The words that are preached to us of Jesus as our Savior, who bled for me and died for me and rose victorious for me. Never belittle those words. Never belittle those words. This is my body, this is my blood given and shed for you. But cling to those words for all your life, because they are all your life. They are Jesus, your Savior, your Christmas present, your Easter present, your every Sunday present. Amen. And may the peace that that gives us, that surpasses our understanding, then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.